morning. Welcome to Jenkins Church. So Larry, I guess I'm the usher. Worship leader. I guess I better get up here and lead. Oh, it's too late.
No offering.
Right. You're okay. I got you covered. Got you back. Okay. Any announcements? Anything that we need to talk about?
There's an insert in your bulletin about criteria for elders. It is almost time to nominate for 3 elders for a certain 3-year term, and offer this and offer the opportunity for the people of the congregation to make suggestions.
Anything else?
We started working on Christmas lights afterwards. We meet at 5:00 here for chicken parts and 5:30 for Christmas music. They need to go to Lincoln by Cat Castles, which we can wait tomorrow and next day. And it's all the fun. But we still need some chicken parts. And also want to see, if you know children, small children who like to participate.
Okay, anybody want to be a cowboy, Indian, or an angel? Some of you look like angels, but forget it. You're not going to get there, okay? All right. Anything else? I will say one thing. The bazaar is coming the first Saturday in November. And if you are interested in helping, either contact Sherry Wendell or myself, and we'll put you to work. Okay, and Miss Louise is putting together a list for help, so if you want to help, see Miss Louise also. So see one of the 3 of them. You're going to post it? Okay. And the worst thing you can do is have her come after you, so remember that. Sign up early, okay? Yes.
Franciscan, you may need to check the temperature. I didn't touch it, and I know you. I see you there. You've done that before.
Okay. Anyone else? All right. Any additions or additions to the prayer list? Anyone else?
Didn't hear Harry Benizer.
Anyone else?
Teresa's here this morning. And surgery went well. We're glad to see her. I apologize for not being on this. We've got so many prayer lists, and I know she's on our Thursday morning list because she had the surgery Thursday. But keep her on the prayer list for recovery.
Here it is.
Anyone else?
Looks like Cody's walking fine this morning. Is that right?
Casey.
Yeah, Cody was walking pretty good.
Yeah. How did Cody Casey walk?
I think he was carrying Casey.
Carrying Casey.
Yeah. Good. Anyone else? Okay. If I can have a couple of volunteers to light the candles. Jessica, would you? You and your friend? There you go. Casey and Jessica. There you go. Okay, if you would, bow your head. Prepare yourself for worship and remember the ones mentioned and pray that God, Jesus, touched their lives and watch over the travelers. We open your bulletin and look at our opening gathering words. Reason, please stand. Come, let us bow before the Holy One. Come, let us feel God's mercy.
Come, let us live in God's life.
And God's people, as God's people, we lift our voices in praise.
Glory to you, glorious and loving God.
If you open the hymnals to page 72, please.
Lord of heaven, Lord of earth, Lord of all who live. Sometimes we don't acknowledge His Lordship. Much of the world is yet to know that He is Lord. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we bow before You. You are Lord of life. You are our Lord and our God. Lord, we come confessing that oftentimes we think we're in control. And Lord, we come making demands of You and questioning. Lord, we're no different than Your people through the ages, but that gives us not a reason, nor does that excuse us. We come this morning to say, Lord, we give over to You the lordship of our lives. We want to worship You and glorify You by the activities of this hour, but by our action, our words, after we go from this place. Thank You. Thank You for sending Jesus to be our Savior. Thank You for forgiving us of that which would separate us from You. We offer our prayer in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Please be seated. It's time in worship where we do the Apostles' Creed, and if you would, either on the wall or in your hymnal at page 716 in unison, please. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day He arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sit upon the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From this He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Service where we confess our sins. Our call to confession, Jeremiah 3:22. Return, ye backsliding children, and I will heal your backsliding. Behold, we come unto you, or you, for the Lord our God. Our prayer confession in unison. God of patience, Your people grow weary. We complain and question. We put You to the test. Our mouths say yes, but our deeds say no. When we wander off Your path, when we fail to follow through with our good intentions, when we give our attention to tribal things, gently
call us back to You.
Empty our hearts of anger and pride. Empty our souls of greed and selfishness. Empty our minds of envy, doubt, and mistrust. As You pour out Your very self through Your beloved Son, pour Your Spirit into our hearts today. Forgive us our wrongdoings. Reclaim us with your love. Our assurance of forgiveness. Friends in Christ, our Lord is patient, steadfast, and understanding. Christ hears our cries of repentance. He knows our hearts inside and out. Hear these words of forgiveness. Be strength to walk as disciples. Trust in God's mercy. Amen. The next hymnal is on the screen. God, a sacrifice of thanksgiving, and make good your vows to the Most High. If our ushers would come forward, please.
Join me for prayer. Lord God, we want to have more love and we want to have more power. Lord, as we seek power, we pray that we could only use it for that which is good and righteous and in keeping with your teaching. Lord, we open our lives to you in this prayer and thank you for opening our hearts to share that which we have with those in need, but also share to carry on the work of this local church as well as the church around the world. In Jesus' name, amen.
phone rang about 7 o'clock. This voice came on I didn't recognize. This is Kim. So Kim's not going to make it today. Last month, or maybe it was this month, I don't know, I tried to sing a song in the computer. We can, you know, that's one good thing about the computer. We can always blame it for everything. Anyway, I'd like to try to sing this song for you that I was going to sing that day. I got the computer straightened out with the sledgehammer thingy. It's called Faith Things First. You gotta put faith things first, 'cause that's the only way it works. And suddenly everything will be much easier if you will just outbelieve your doubts. Then you will see there won't be anything you cannot do if you'll just put faith things first. Some people make Jesus their last resort when their lives would all be much better. They'd only make Him their first choice if we'd only remember He is Alpha and Omega. Just put Jesus first and your life will last eternally. But you gotta put faith things first, 'cause that's the only way it works. And suddenly everything will be much easier if we will just outbelieve your doubts. Then you will see there won't be anything you cannot do if you'll just put faith things first. Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Just ask, seek, knock and believe, and it will be as it should be. But don't wait till it's too late, for the time is now at hand. Just a little faith goes a long way when we put it in the right place. You gotta put faith things first, that's the only way it works. And suddenly everything will be much easier if you will just outbelieve your doubts. And then you will see there won't be anything you cannot do if you'll just put faith things first. You gotta put faith things first.
Our scripture lesson today comes from Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 18. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from His love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, and make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of self-ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourself. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, but being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe, as you hold out the word of life, in order that I may boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor for nothing. That even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. So you too should be glad and rejoice with me. The word of God for the people of God.
Turn in your hymnals now, if you will, please, to hymn 338 at Calvary.
Years I spent in vanity and pride, bearing not the Lord's crucified, knowing God in my freedom, the love of me. Mercy there was great and grace was free, pardon there was nothing right to me.
What happened at Calvary, a cross, broken body, shed blood, at Calvary. you may have noticed, as we prayed together the Lord's Prayer, I got lost somewhere and I went trespassing rather than deading. Or maybe you didn't even notice. But sometimes, I don't know where that came from. I have never been a Book of Common Prayer person. I may have learned in the early days trespasses rather than debts. And as I was here in your presence, and I was trespassing or asking forgiveness for my trespasses rather than my debts. You do know the difference. I think I preached on this. Matthew's account in the King James Version uses the words debts. And then later in Jesus' explanation, he talks about trespasses. The Book of Common Worship for the Episcopalian, the United Methodist, and I think the Roman Catholic Church use the word trespasses, but Presbyterians have traditionally used the word debt, trying to be more biblical, I guess we would say. We have an insert for our invitation hymn or our closing hymn, and you might want to have that handy. Sometimes they get lost, or my sheets of paper do. Knowing Jesus, does it mean anything? If knowing Jesus means anything to us, there are certain things that we must do. We're compelled to do. If Jesus going to Calvary, if that means anything to us, the Apostle Paul wrote many letters to many churches. Some he wrote two letters to, some he wrote one letter to. That is, letters that we have preserved. Even with two letters to the Corinthians, there is a little indication that there was a third letter to the Corinthians somewhere. And we don't have it unless it's included and wasn't distinguished as a third letter. Does anybody know how many letters that Paul wrote to churches that we have included in our Bible? And it's a very easy thing to discover. 13, if I counted correctly. 1 to the Romans, 2 to the Corinthians, 2 to the Thessalonians, 2 to Timothy. He wrote some to individuals. 1 to Titus. He was instructing the members of these churches, some that he had established, but some that he had never visited. Others established them. And he was trying to instruct these Christians, new Christians, maybe just a few years old, maybe brand new Christians. He was trying to instruct the members about Jesus. He was trying to instruct them about church life. And he was trying to instruct them how they were to live out in the world in this new life. How to act at church, how to carry on the business at church, how the church should function, the church of Jesus. So he had to talk about Jesus and what Jesus had done for them. Same thing he's done for us. In this second chapter of Philippians, he really tells us about Jesus the man and Jesus the divine creature, God, fully God and fully man. Many people had come to Christianity or to Christ and had become Christians and members of the churches from Judaism. Paul had come from Judaism. All the apostles other than Paul had come from Judaism. And many of the new Christians were Jews, descendants of Abraham. And they saw Christ as a fulfillment of the prophecy that God would send a Savior. And they trusted Christ as Savior and Lord. Many of them had come into the church from a pagan lifestyle or pagan lifestyles. A couple of weeks we preached from the book of Romans. If you'll go back with me to the book of Romans, 16 chapters in that, only 4 in Philippians. He had more to tell the Romans, it looks like. Back in the book of Romans, written approximately 4 years before the book of Philippians was written, about A.D. 56 or 57, according to Bible scholars. If you have certain Bibles, you can open it up and it will give you date of writing. And it'll have a little C by it and a period. That means thereabout. Circa. And so the book of Romans was written, one authority said 56, I believe, and the other said 57 A.D. And in the book of Romans, Paul urged the Christians, and we've talked about recently the Christians being kingdom people, members of the kingdom of God, or citizens of the kingdom of God, who are only citizens of countries in this earth for a short time. Something like a flash in the pan. Somebody has described it in secular words. Like a vapor, I believe is a more biblical term. And Paul urges these Christians, or these members of God's kingdom, people saved by the blood of Jesus, trusting in Jesus as their Lord and Savior, he urges those who read it to present their bodies as living sacrifices. And that's as opposed to dead sacrifices that people in the pagan world often offered to their gods. They would kill animals and offer them upon the altar. But in the Jewish religion, the priest would kill an animal and sprinkle the blood upon the altar and place the meat from the animal upon the altar as fire burned and consumed or caused a sweet-smelling smell or scent to go up to God with the idea that this was pleasing to God. Carol and I went out to eat last night, and next to us, or down a few tables, they brought out one of those frying plates. Fajitas? Is that right? They brought out the meat for the fajitas. And something I don't like to smell is frying meat. And Carol sat there and just smiled. But she was having fish later. She was having salmon. But here this beef came out. And to her, she loved to smell it. And to me, I don't like it at all. And she was looking that way. And maybe she should have gotten beef the way she was looking at that. Beef fajitas or... And she said, "You don't like that, do you?" And I said, "No, I don't. No, I just don't like to smell, I think, overcooked meat." But anyhow, that was the way. They would throw the meat up on the altar, and then it would be seared, and the smell would go up to God with the thought that God was pleased. They would offer something of value to them, or to him. presented in his house. And Paul says, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. Offer something of value, your life, in response to the mercies that God has extended to you. And that's what he says to us. In response to the mercies that God has extended to us, he calls on us to offer our bodies, not as dead sacrifices, but living sacrifices. Spend our life, if you will. Spend our life, or use up our life for the kingdom of God and building the kingdom and working in the kingdom. God had been so good to the Romans, Paul said. God has been so good to us, has he not? So they were called upon and we are called upon to offer ourselves as living sacrifices to him. And he had been so good to them, sending Jesus to be the Savior, to get them ready for heaven, to make them pure and spotless before God through what Jesus did on the cross. It was incumbent upon them, Paul was saying, and it's incumbent upon us, he is saying, to love in such a manner, love God in such a manner, and to live in such a manner as to honor and glorify God. Christian people saved by the blood of Jesus, saved by the sacrifice of Jesus on Calvary, out of thanksgiving to him, out of appreciation to him, he calls upon us to live lives that would not embarrass him, that would show his people to really be committed and faithful to him. And Paul uses up five chapters of the book of Romans to explain how they can offer their bodies as living sacrifices. Romans 12 through 16. He's told all about what Jesus has done for us, or God has done for us through Jesus, in the first 11 chapters. And now in 12 through 16, he explains how they can use themselves or spend themselves, and how we can spend ourselves sacrificing ourselves for the cause of Christ. And these sacrifices in the book of Romans range from using our spiritual gifts, be it apostle, be it teacher, be it the gift of hospitality, whatever the gift is, using the gifts that God has blessed us with, the spiritual gifts, to build up the kingdom of God, or to bring other people into the kingdom of God, but also to help those who have come into the kingdom of God to grow in spiritual matters, to have a deeper understanding of spiritual things, to know God better, to know better how to honor him and serve him, and to shape their lives after the example of Jesus Christ. And he says, use your spiritual gifts for building up the kingdom. And then he goes on to talk about one way that Christians can honor God, chapter 13 of Romans, is to obey the civil authorities. And then he goes on to talk about how we need, chapter 14, how we need to be careful not to offend our fellow Christians. And also, we need to be careful in our action that we would not keep a pagan or a non-Christian from wanting to be a Christian. Talk about don't eat meat if it's going to offend somebody. Now that really didn't offend me last evening when they ate that funny smelling beef. So they didn't offend me. They enjoyed it, I'm sure. But said if you're going to eat meat, there was a question about whether you could eat meat. Theological discussion whether a Christian could eat meat offered to idols. And Paul talks about some people can, it's okay. But some people can't.
One reason they need to be careful with it is that it would be offensive to somebody who saw you.
I think we could use the term now, the consumption of alcohol. And that's been going on throughout my lifetime. A little argument. Can a Christian consume alcohol? Well, it would be best if he did. Except when he took it for the sake of the stomach. But you take it that way, you have to take it in moderation. But some people may even see you going to the liquor store to buy. Now, you've got to go across town, away from your own church people if you buy liquor at a liquor store, right? Some people may see you, they may even be over there doing the same thing. See you buying your liquor at the liquor store and say, well, he's just a sot, or she's just a sot. She drinks all the time. I can drink too and don't have the control that you have. Same idea as talking about eating meat back in the Old Testament, or back in the letter of the Apostle Paul to the Romans. And I said all of that to catch you up today. Paul said to the Romans, and then he said essentially the same thing to the Philippians. He didn't say one thing to one group and something else to the other group. Wherever Paul went, he preached the message of Christ. Maybe a different emphasis on this one, because that situation needed a different emphasis. That particular church did. But he had the same message. And as he urged the Romans to live in such a way that would honor and glorify Christ, he sent a similar message or a similar urging to the Christians at Philippi some 4 years later. Again, somebody says 60 A.D. and somebody says 61 A.D. Does the time matter? It was such a short while after Christ, had been crucified. These were really new Christians. If it was 60 or 61, you go back to 28 or 30 or 26 or 30. Okay. To the Philippian members of God's kingdom, and to the Jenkins members of God's kingdom, Paul says, in effect, if your relationship with Jesus means anything to you. And I know I've taken liberty in interpreting that phrase, but that's what it means to me. If your relationship with Jesus means anything to you, if you got any good out of the love that Jesus has shown for you, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ. I mean, that's reading it right from the NIV. If you have any comfort in His love, if you've been blessed by what Jesus has done for you, you need to live in a certain way which He describes, which Paul describes. Or, as saved people, we have responsibilities. And it's not something really that we can take or leave, but sometimes Christians act that way. Well, I don't much feel like being a Christian today. Have you been in that situation? Or I just decided I just beat him up or tell him off or run him off or something of that nature. I wonder, in your secular relationships, and that was the best word I could come up with, in your secular relationships, I wonder if you have been challenged in a similar way as Paul challenged the Philippians. Or Thessalonians, hopefully they read this letter too though. Have you been challenged in your secular life in a similar way as Paul challenged these people at Philippi, these new Christians? Perhaps saying to grown children, children who never came around or never come around. And the parents, if they won't say it, they at least think it. If you mean anything, if I mean anything to you, a parent is saying to a child, if I mean anything to you, you would come by more often. Or you'd at least call me. And sometimes children forget to call their parents. Or a parent to a child who is really acting up. You know what acting up is, don't you, teenagers? Well, us adults know about acting up too. So the parent will say to the child, or they said to me, if you really care anything about us, you would act a little different. Have you ever heard that one? Okay, I'm on track then. Same world that I grew up in, wasn't it? Well, there's a TV commercial I think really illustrates this. It's the Verizon commercial. Have you seen it? Two middle school guys are walking across campus, and one of them's parents show up. And those parents are dressed outlandishly to everybody except themselves. And the dad starts calling out to the son, "Son, look over here. We want to talk to you." And the son don't want to see them. And then you see the mother, and she says, is that like a cheerleader maybe? And the son just wants to go through the ground. And they don't say it, but I can hear him saying it, thinking it. If those parents thought anything of me, they would not embarrass me like that. And in essence, I think that's what the Apostle Paul is saying to the Philippians. If we think anything, if we care anything about Jesus, we wouldn't embarrass him. We'd live in a manner that would honor and glorify him. You know, the church at Philippi, though, was the joy of Paul's heart. He loved it. If you read it, it seems like, and some say it was, the best church that he had anything to do with. The word rejoice in his letter to them as he talks about how he feels about them. The word rejoice or joy, someone counted 16 times in these four chapters. He says, oh, I rejoice over you, I rejoice over you. But he still, they were not perfect, and he still saw either some faults or some problems or the potential for some. So he reminded them, so he talked to them. And he is concerned, one thing that he is concerned with is that they will be discouraged by the persecutions. And the church was still going through persecutions. And it is still going through, in many instances, in many countries now, going through persecution. And Paul knew that persecutions was coming. And you go back and read the 16th chapter of Acts and you'll find what persecution Paul and Silas went through while they were trying to minister in Philippi. You find the Philippian story in Acts chapter 16. There was a sign somebody wrote, and I didn't go back and read the details or footnote it, but they said that there was a sign over the gate, or one of the gates to the city of Philippi, that don't bring any new religion into this town. So that writer says that's the reason that Paul and Lydia and the other people met down by the river. They couldn't bring any new religion into the town. And that was Judaism, as I understand it, and Paul preached to them. So Christianity certainly couldn't get in there. He was also concerned that the church would divide into factions, and that even the greatest churches is in danger of dividing into factions. I still remember when I came to town 30 plus years ago, Two Rivers Baptist Church, they're far enough away we can talk about them, I guess, right? Two Rivers Baptist Church was one of the premier churches in
that side of Nashville, and all I could hear is, have you heard about Two Rivers? Have you heard about Two Rivers? What great things Two Rivers did, and they were. They were touching lives, and people were leaving other churches and running out to Two Rivers. Well, somewhere along the way, about 2 years ago, they got some factions. And that was, it took 30 years for it to happen. But it can happen in the greatest fellowships.
And we don't need factions, so Paul calls for unity.
Unity, one mind. Similar thinking. Don't go off on your tangents.
Then he calls for standing firm, and then he insists or calls for people to help other people.
We need to help other people.
And then he says to the Philippians, the Christians, that they should have the same attitude as Jesus had.
And what was that attitude?
And that's what we have in chapter 2, verse 5 through 11. And let me just read that.
Your attitude should be the same as that of Jesus Christ. Jesus has saved you now. Take on His attitude. Being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made Himself nothing. Wow. That's a big sacrifice, isn't it? Made Himself nothing. Taking the very nature of a servant. Well, He's God. Why would He want to take the nature of a servant? Maybe to set an example for us. Being made in human likeness, God, becoming human. And being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. The most awful death that one could experience. But then, God exalted Him to the highest place and gave Him the name that is above every name. That the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. And because Jesus was willing to leave heaven and come to earth to die for us, taking on the form of a human being, Paul says, therefore, continue to work out your salvation. Do everything, verse 14, without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation. And if you do that, you'll shine like stars. You'll shine like stars in this evil world. Don't we need some shining stars in this world? As you hold out the word of life, praise be to God. What about you and your relationship with Jesus? Is your life showing that He has saved you? Is your life showing that He appreciates, that you appreciate what He has done for you? Is your life honoring Him and glorifying Him? How are you doing in your living as a member of the kingdom of God? Are you making any sacrifices for His kingdom? Do you need to? Do you need to talk about your situation? Talk to God here at the kneeling bench among God's people. Or maybe, just maybe, this is the time that you need to trust Jesus. This Jesus who died for you as your Savior and your Lord, and make that confession to the glory of God the Father. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for sending Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for coming. Thank you for redeeming us. Now, Lord, we pray that You'll just help us, that Your Spirit so control us that we can live to Your honor and to Your glory.
live lives that show we really do appreciate what you have done for us and are doing for us. In Jesus' name. Amen. The insert, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Let's look at the second stanza. The second stanza of turn your eyes upon Jesus. Let's stand together. And maybe it is your need to come here to the altar, to pray, to talk, to counsel, whatever your need is. Lord God, we can just say thank you. Thank you.
One, two, three. Thank you.